The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, hello. It's nice to see all of you coming on, joining from so many places in the world. And we'll be continuing with this theme of mindfulness as protection, looking at different aspects of that every day. So why don't we go ahead and get right into the meditation today. So finding a posture where you'll be able to sit for a little while. Just tuning in to the sensations of the body sitting. You can close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. And it's often helpful at the beginning of the sit to just check in with the posture. So, you know, feeling that the body is upright and balanced where it's sitting. Or even if you're lying down, there can still be a sense of straightness in the spine. And often we can feel the energy associated with the straightness or uprightness of the body and balance that against relaxation. So it's not a tense or bolt upright straightness, but a relaxed, almost raising up of the body as if it were being pulled from above. And then we just settle in to that. We can take a longer, deeper breath than usual. And on the out breath, just soften around that straight central part of the body. So softening the face, the jaw, the shoulders, the arms, the legs. And then inside the body, softening the heart area, and the belly. And then tuning in to the sensations of the breathing. When the body is at least somewhat relaxed, there can be a sense of the breath washing through the tissues of the body. It's a bit of an imagination, but we don't have to think of the breath as just being in the lungs. It can be helpful to feel it throughout the body. And just as we had a sense of alertness and also ease or relaxation in the body, in the mind, we can also sense the alertness, but it's a relaxed alertness. perhaps fueled by an interest in our experience. So often we don't take the time, or sometimes even have the time, to tune in deeply to our experience. We're busy with something in the outer world. And now is a chance to really listen, really tune in. So again, we can consider the sensations of the breath to be like a home base to which the mind can return or wake up to at any time. But the sensations of the breath are not the only thing happening. Of course, there may be other body sensations, and there's sound, and there may be a dominant emotion or mood, and there may be various thoughts. So it's okay that these other things are happening. We could just think of them as being on the back burner while the breath is more on the front burner. Or that these other things happen and we breathe through them, kind of favoring the feeling of the breath. But these other things are there more softly. So this kind of meditation allows there to be multiple experiences. And it can be that the mind will switch the positions of the breath and something else and go off into thinking or listening. And if that's the case, when we notice, we can just bring the breath back into the foreground. And if you'd like, for this meditation, you could also just note what it was that the mind was doing when it was caught up in something like hearing or thinking, or body sensation. And we just note that so that we know, and then continue on in a simple way with the meditation. It's kind of an easy investigation. One of the most common things that the mind will get caught up in is a thought trail. Very normal, because the mind thinks. That's what it does. So there's certainly nothing to criticize in that. But it can be interesting, if you'd like, if this doesn't feel too busy, to make a little bit further investigation of thought in particular. When the mind is on a long thought trail, it's called apancha, which means proliferation. And the main three things going on during proliferation of thought are either craving or conceit or views. So there's no judgment of these things, but it's often that we're wanting something, or that would include not wanting something. Or we're explaining something about ourselves, how we are, how we compare to someone else. Or we're stating our position on something, explaining it, figuring it out. So craving, conceit, and views. So we could, on the noting of the thought, we could also, if it's simple enough, just note which of these three seems prominent. And if it's not obvious, then it's just thinking. Doesn't matter so much. Sometimes it's interesting to know what we're trading our peace for. when we investigate in this way, we may come to realize that there's a certain grace to the return of mindfulness. Since we weren't present, we didn't do that. So it's something of a gift that mindfulness reappears when the mind has been wandering. We can be happy for that, although we didn't do it in that moment. There is some momentum generated from earlier practice, so we can enjoy that return of mindfulness, that sense of brightness and presence returning. Appreciate the gift. So in the last few minutes of this sitting, we might bring to mind just how much of the suffering in the world comes from these three things: craving, conceit, and views. First of all, internally, for the person who is wrapped up in that, because we can see that in ourselves. And then also actions that are taken based on these things. It's just part of how it is to be human, that we have these streams in our mind. And it's mindfulness that helps us see that and be disentangled from it. So mindfulness is our natural protection from wandering into these streams or domains of unwholesome tendencies in the mind. So for today, we could be happy for the moments of mindfulness, the stretches of mindfulness, during which we know we won't be acting on these forces that aren't so helpful. And it may even be that our mindfulness or our presence could help someone else not to act on such things. We can't assume that or try to make it that way, but it may be that way. So this wonderful gift of presence that arrives on its own, in a sense, is a great protection for ourselves and others. Thank you.